Let it rain, Robert. Let's just go to the Lord in a word of prayer this evening. Father, we bless you. We thank you. We worship you, Jesus, for your mercy, for your grace, Lord. We thank you so much, Jesus. We thank you so much, Jesus. We worship you. There's always been a remnant, Lord, that will not bow to the ways of this world. Not that you picked us, Lord, because we were special, because we refused to bow, Lord, is why there's a remnant. So I give you praise this morning, Lord. I know what you're asking of us. I know what you're asking of me, Lord. May we be willing to give it all up, Lord, for the expansion of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for the truth is only in Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that you've called us to walk in the Spirit, Lord. To walk in the Spirit. To know you in truth and righteousness, Lord. To represent you. Not by the way we articulate or what we say, Lord, but by and how we live. We give you everlasting praise, Jesus. We give you everlasting praise. Worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We praise you. We thank you so much. In Jesus' name. Keep playing, buddy. Hallelujah. The last few services we've had, we've changed it up a little bit. We've gone into the Word first, and I felt real comfortable doing that. And then we've worshiped towards the end. I don't want to keep you long at all. I don't think he's going to keep me long. I think he might have me pray for some of you tonight. We'll see. But I've had such a great time. I was, even my wife, on our way home from church, after we went to Burger King, about 10 $1 chicken sandwiches. I don't think they like Mexicans at Burger King anymore because I UPS them to my family in Texas and California. $1 chicken sandwiches. They didn't make no money off my family this week. Right, Sandy? Even Sandy got two of them. But even my wife said, God, babe. I mean, she don't call me babe. She still calls me Homer after 20-some years. Okay, she calls me honey. Honey. But she said, you know, that guy said the same exact thing that you've been telling me. And that's why I was a little mesmerized in the back hearing what he was saying today, because I've been in the book of Galatians and Ephesians and in Colossians and some in Romans. Just learning, I mean, about God's grace, about what it means to walk in the Spirit, what it means to be born again. You know, we're so blessed. And I was in Romans the other day, and I think God's grace has carried me through the roughest year of my life. Not as far as darkness is concerned, but pressures of work. I think I've crossed a hurdle with the grace of God as far as walking in a lot more peace now. Because I think the place that I work, Alex can testify that we work together in, it's supposed to be slow this summer, isn't it, Alex? Far from it. But there's been such a high demand in my life with this job that, make a long story short, I think I made it. I think all the hard part is done somewhat. And God carried me through it. I mean, I had my moments where I quit my job sometime. One time, called my boss and said, I quit. He said, Homer, I'm not letting you quit today. I said, okay, I'm back on board, boss. But I've learned something through Galatians, Ephesians, and Colossians, and Romans. As I look at the sanctuary, I look at what I'm taught. And I'm not going to keep. I beg you tonight. I beg you with all my heart. Listen to what I'm going to say tonight. I beg you. We, being the body of Christ, We speak so much of God's love, and rightly so, because as we've heard our mentor say, that God doesn't walk in love. God is love. And I hear people say all the time, well, God loves me so much. And sometimes I really think it's just a religious cliche. Though he does love us a tremendous amount. When I do good, when I do bad, when you do good or when you do bad, that his love is for us is, we can't compare. We can't imagine how much he loves us. And I hear people, especially people that struggle with their walk with God, somehow it's a justification for their lives. And I hear it a lot, but God loves me. I'm a child of God. I'm a princess. I'm a prince. God loves me. Yes, he does. But if they understood how much he actually loved them, half as much as what they say that he does, they'd be different people. I see, and it doesn't surprise me, and I told you guys about 8 months ago that this youth group was going to shrink. Smaller than it's ever been. I mean, I had a dream about it, and I shared it with you, and lo and behold, look at us. And again, that it doesn't matter. But I see empty chairs, knowing what we're taught here, stuff that can change you, stuff that can make you into a mighty man or woman of God. And I see empty chairs, especially on Sunday morning and Wednesday nights. And I've come to a conclusion through meditating the scriptures. Why does a person, now you gotta listen to me carefully, why does a person or people or congregation or churches all over the United States, why they're on fire for God for 2 weeks and then they're out of commission for 2 months? Why? Out of commission as far as even church attendance. Why does one that's born again, listen to me carefully, I'm gonna make a point with this. Why is one born again, Holy Ghost filled, that'll tell you God loves him so much, and yes, he does. But we're not talking about how much God loves us. We're talking about how much we love him. See, that's the key. We won't be judged on how much he loves us. He loves me with an incredible love. I'll be judged the day that I die on how much I love God. But you see somebody that, they'll convince you, eyeball to eyeball, that they're doing great. They'll convince you. And then they'll get drunk or do whatever they do, which is their business. It's the same person that'll tell you, oh, God loves me. I'm a queen. I'm a king. He loves me so much. But then you don't see him in church because you know that they're flirting or playing with the world. Usually when a person stops praying or when they begin to play with the world, the first thing that goes is their attendance in the house of God. Not all the time, but sometimes. I think you would agree with me on that. But why does a person stay? If God, they'll tell Alex, God loves me so much. I'm a king, Alex. He died for me, Alex. He rose on the third day to justify me. I know when I do wrong, Alex, God loves me. I fall. I'm just saying a typical Christian statement to another Christian. We all fall short of his glory, but he loves me. I'll get back up. I'll wipe my feet up, Alex, and I'll get back up because I'm a child of God. But then you don't see that person in church for weeks or for months. Why? Why? You just sat there for an hour telling me how much God loves you. If you really understood, if we really understood how much the Father loved us, if we really understood it, do you think that we would miss church half as much as we do if we really comprehended God's love for me and you? A person that will consistently miss church is one that knows God in a legalistic manner. They know him almost by the deeds that they do or don't do. So they're on fire for 2 or 3 weeks. You see him They're talking about God, and then you don't see him for a month or two. They go back into the world. They take one or two steps backwards, and you don't see him in church. But wait a minute, this was the same person that sat there and told us how much God loved them. But the problem is they gave a nice presentation, but they know God in a legalistic manner. You know, the one thing about being a Christian is we're blessed, because when we do fall, his mercy is extended towards me and you, and we're forgiven. A person that spends their whole life being in and out of church and inconsistent in the ways of God doesn't realize that we're a blessed people. They know God in a legalistic manner. In other words, as they do good, they feel happy with God, and they feel God is happy with them. If they do bad, they feel bad about their relationship with God. They know him in a legalistic manner. There was a king, King David, an adulterer and a murderer named King David. This isn't about sin. This isn't about what you do or I. This isn't about that. It's about knowing God and knowing that we're blessed because we're born again, Holy Ghost filled, blood washed, saints of God. If I could talk you into knowing how much he loves you, you'd never be the same. Even when you fall, you'd never be the same. David, a murderer, an adulterer, he sinned. God gave him plenty. God gave him abundance, and he sinned. After he was judged of the Father for his transgression, this isn't about David. The Bible says he got off the ground weeping and mourning for his child. The Bible says that this man, David, an unregenerate man, not born again, I think he mourned for 7 days. Is that right? Anybody, is that about right? I think he mourned for a period of days, 7 days. After he lost his child because of what he did under law, he lost his child and was judged. Do you know what he did when he sinned? Laid on his face crying if perhaps God would revive his child or heal his child so his child wouldn't die. You know what he did when he sinned? He committed adultery. And again, this isn't about adultery. This isn't about murder. This is about knowing God, that he's full of mercy and grace. The Bible says that, and I haven't gone through this story in a long time, after he seen somebody whispering, he was on his face before the Lord, and he perceived that his elders or his leaders were murmuring amongst themselves that his child had died because of his transgression. You know what David did? The Bible says he got up, shaved, bathed. What did he do next? And he went into the house of God. See, David, even as an unregenerate man, had this revelation. This is a revelation that we must all have. This sermon isn't about sin. This sermon is about knowing our God in truth. David had this revelation. He had this understanding. Listen to what David knew, real quick. David said, "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord shall not impute sin." He committed adultery. He murdered, was judged according to the old dispensation. Don't worry about it, we're okay. The prophet came to him, said, "Your child is going to pass away for your sin." He mourned, he cried on the ground, he fasted and prayed that perhaps God would have mercy and allow his child to live. He suffered his punishment. Perceived his child was dead. But David did have this revelation. He said, my child won't come to me anymore. He said, but one day, I'll go to him. David knew of the resurrection. David knew that as a believer in Jesus Christ, that he was blessed. Because his sin, his transgression would be forgiven. As modern day believers, today in the church, when you fall and you're born again and you're Holy Ghost filled, you're blessed, man, because your sin, because your transgression is not counted against you. That's why one won't come back to church after 2 months after falling, because they don't understand the grace and the love of the Almighty God. If you fall tomorrow, Renee, don't stay. You should get back up in a heartbeat. I mean, just get, okay, I fail, Lord. I fail. But I'm blessed because you don't impute sin on me, Lord. My sin, it's covered in the blood of Jesus. Get back up immediately. Don't wait for 2 months of feeling sorry for yourself. Come back into the house of God and then decide 2 months later that I'm going to serve Jesus again. Get back up again immediately because the mercy of God is extended to you, man. His blood runs freely. When? Not in 2 months, that day after you transgressed. Don't know God in a legalistic manner. Know him as a God that extends his blood and his mercy to you. So you fall. You want to beat yourself across the head for your failure. But the Father, through Jesus, offers immediate forgiveness for our sins. We can't know him in a legalistic manner. He isn't going to kill you for what you did yesterday. We're under a new dispensation. We're under grace. He doesn't have a legal pad and a cross pen in heaven writing down everything you did wrong, ready to curse you and smite you with a sickness. My friends, if you're born again and if you're Holy Ghost filled, you're blessed today. Because when you fall, although you don't have to fall, when you're inconsistent, although you don't have to be inconsistent, when you do fall, he's right there. The blood of his son is flowing freely to you, saying, get up, son. Get up, daughter. Stretch your hands towards heaven. Ask him to forgive you. You'll be blessed today, Renee, because I don't count your sin against you. You have been born again. The blood of my son is sufficient and will wash you and cleanse you. Don't buy the lie of the devil. Don't buy condemnation. You are a child of God. Pastor Omar, why are you saying this? Are you struggling? No. I'm getting stronger and stronger every week, every day. Every day as I read the scriptures, I can feel them burning inside of me. But I think about the people as a shepherd. You think about the people. Lord, what is it? We serve under an awesome ministry. We're taught things that 99.9% of other churches never hear. We're taught things that can change us forever. We're taught the no excuse messages that it's never, ever anybody else's fault, Lord. Yet why is they're maroon all over the church? Because people don't know their God. They know him in a legalistic manner, thinking if they fail that he's upset with them. No, my friends, no. He's not upset with you. He wants you to offer up those words full of truth to say, Lord, cleanse me today of my sin. Cleanse me today. But Pastor Homer, I'm struggling. I'm struggling. There's this thing that I do and I don't want to do it, but it just wants to take me over. I heard my mentor say that as long as you keep fighting tooth and nail to come out of that junk, that God's grace will be extended for you. Don't ever keep doing it thinking that it's just a way of life, because it's not. It's not, my friends. Don't ever give in to that subtle excuse, well, this must be a part of my life because I keep doing it. No, my friends. You've been crucified with Christ, and the appetites and the passions of sin and the lusts of them have been crucified too. We've been called to walk in the Spirit. Don't feel sorry for yourself. If you failed and you keep failing, don't feel sorry for yourself. Put off the old man and put on the new one. How do you put off the old man? Don't do the things that you used to do. It's that simple. How do you put on the new man that's been created in God in righteousness? By doing what's right. It's that simple. Sin doesn't have dominion over me and you. It cannot. Why? Because I say so? No, because the Bible says so. God isn't mad at you, man. He's not mad at you. You got to know him. You got to know. You got to know that his mercy and his blood is extended towards you, Sandy. It's extended towards me. It's extended towards Harry. It's extended towards Gay. It's extended towards Robert. We're blessed because our sin, Ashton, it didn't count it against us. He didn't count it against us. We're blood-bought, Holy Ghost-filled believers. He doesn't count our iniquity. He doesn't count it against me and you. You've got to say that to yourself. Convince yourself of it. God, I failed today. I failed. Well, get back up, buddy. Because your sin, your transgression, my God and my King, doesn't count it against you. Don't take a 2-month sabbatical from church because you did something wrong 2 months prior. This is your seat with your name on it. When you fall, though we don't have to fall, when you sin, though we don't have to sin, get up immediately. God, I fell today. God, I've fallen into this thing 3 times in this month, Lord. I don't even feel like looking up to heaven, Lord, when I fall to this thing. I feel dirty, Lord. I feel polluted. But I can tell you today, Father, that no devil in hell made me sin. I did this because I chose to, my Lord, because I still enjoy it. Somewhat, Lord, I'm going to brush myself off. I'm going to get back into my word. I'm going to lift up my hands. I'm going to pray in the Spirit, Lord. And this junk in me, it's going to be eradicated one day. One day I'm going to love you more than this mess that I'm in. Lord, I'm going to keep pressing in. You don't count my sin against me. And I'm going to find you. It's going to be mortified in me, Lord. And I will walk according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will fulfill what you've called me to do. In love. That, my friends, is walking in 100% love. Love is not preached correctly in the corporate body of Christ. Love is not an emotion. Who tells me and you to abstain from? Give me a shot. Somebody give me what do you feel God tells us to abstain from? And it doesn't have to be a sexual sin. Or what does God tell you to abstain from? From what? Walk in what? Forgiveness? Right? Do you feel that rising up in you sometimes? If God is love, and that's all he is, and from inside of our spirit, forgiveness cries out, and God is love, then the instruction to forgive is what? Love. If God is love and God asks me from inside my spirit to walk in mercy, then that commandment is what? Love. If God is love and God through the Holy Spirit asks me not to fornicate, then that commandment is. If God within me asks me and you not to commit adultery, not to drink, not to get high, not to do this and that, then that commandment is what? Love. It's love. Galatians says to be imitators of God and what? Walk in love. And then he lists, he gives us the description of what it is to walk in love. Walking in love is not an emotion. Walking in love is a lifestyle of obedience to the Holy Spirit from within our heart. And I'm not preaching that we are to live perfect lives. I'm preaching that we're to live holy lives. And when we do fail, when I do fail, when you do fail, and just to let you know, we don't have to fail or fall to the big uglies. We never have to get drunk again. We never have to walk in strife again. We never have to do those things that used to hold us in bondage, because we've been set free from them. But when we do fall, if we ever fall again, I can rise up at that moment with boldness. Say, my God and my King, Jesus, cleanse me. Cleanse me of my sin, Lord. I'm blessed today, Jesus, because you do not charge me with this sin. Do you know why he doesn't charge you with this sin? Because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that he died for the remission of your sin. You don't have to hold on to your darkness forever, my friend. You can lift up those hands and say, God, cleanse me and forgive me of my sin. You walk back into your prayer closet and you get stronger and stronger and stronger. And before you know it, my friends, the thing that used to hold you, the thing that used to consume you, you'll find out 2 or 3 weeks later, wait a minute. It's been 2 or 3 weeks. That thing that I used to do 3 or 4 times a week, wait a minute. It's been 2 or 3 weeks. You find yourself, you might slip up again after 2 or 3 weeks, but before you used to slip up 3 or 4 times a week, this time you went 3 weeks. But knowing that your God loves you even through your weakness is a good thing. So you get back in there again. You start reading Romans, whatever portion of the scripture the Holy Ghost would have you read. You keep praying in tongues. You keep lifting up your hands and worshiping God. And you keep going and you going and going. And you pass that 3-week mark. You go 4 weeks. You go 5 weeks. You go 2 months. You go 3 months. And you look back and you start feeling good about yourself. You start feeling that conquering, winning power that lives inside you. Wait a minute. It's been 3 months, Alex. It's been 3 months. You're renewing your mind with God's word. You're edifying your spirit through the Holy Ghost. You're transforming yourself into that man or woman of God that he's called you to be. So you go 3 or 4 months. And that damnable thing that used to hold you, you see, you put it off. You put it off of you. And you put on the new man, which was created in righteousness. Doing what was right in God is easier and easier. So you go 4 months and you're whooping this thing. You're gaining confidence. You're happy. There's a love rising up inside of you to serve Jesus more and more every day. And then after 5 months, you slip again. Not that it's right. I'm not justifying it. Not that it's right, my friends, because we never have to commit the big uglies. Never. What are the big uglies? You know what the big uglies are. You know what your big ugly is, don't you? It's none of my business what your big ugly is. What's your big ugly? You. I'm just playing. You go 5 months and you slip up, and the devil wants you. This is what the devil wants you to do. You're doing good. You're walking strong. Are your fingers numb? Are your fingers numb? They're not numb yet? I guess, okay, keep playing. When they fall off, then they're numb, okay? So 5 months goes by as Alex, and y'all are saying, why you keep saying Alex? Because I'm talking about him. No, I'm just playing. Because he's my buddy, my co-laborer. 5 months, you've done real good, Alex. And you slip up to that damnable thing that you know is wrong. This is what Satan wants you to do. You to sit down. And I'm almost done, guys. Then we're going to worship. He wants you to put your face, your hands. God, I'm worthless. I call myself a Christian. I'm a failure. I thought I had it whooped, Lord. I thought I had it whipped. No. The Father, in His love and in His mercy that He demonstrated to me and you through Jesus Christ, wants you to immediately rise up. Shake it off, my friend. Lift up your hands and go back into the same thing that you did that allowed you to get stronger and stronger for 5 months. And then you know what? The day will come. Mark my words, the day will come. I used to sit back in this church when I first got here crying because I knew there had to be more to God because of an issue that I had in my life. I would sit back there and cry in my misery. God, there's got to be more. I'm weak in this area. The day will come if you do not grow weary, if you keep pressing, if you keep pressing, if you keep coming to church, if you keep being edified by God's word, the day will come where it'll be a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years of that damnable thing that used to grasp you and torment you and make you feel like you had no victory over it. You all realize, my God, the desire to do that is not there anymore. Why? Because you did not quit and you understood the grace of your God. You don't have to fall, my friends. And if you do fall, there's a grace and a love and His blood that flows freely just for you. Get up, man. Don't take a 2 or 3 month sabbatical. People give themselves away sometimes. They don't come to church for a month or 2 months and you see them at the grocery store. How you doing? You give them a hug. Oh, I'm doing great. Praise the Lord. No, you're not. Nobody that does good stays away from church. It doesn't add up. When I coached Pop Warner football, that's why I had to quit. Because I took it to the extreme. And I was a pretty good coach. We always won. Always went 2 or 3 deep in playoffs. Always. But I would take my preparation. And in my mind, I would create plays all night long. I would practice Monday through Friday. My son Elijah played for me. And he knows that I was a firm coach with me. If you didn't practice what, son? You didn't play. If you missed an assignment, you're going to sit down. I believe in discipline. I didn't believe in any. No kids talked back to me. If they did, they wouldn't even dress. I prepared all week long for Saturday to win. That's why I had to stop. And now I have no desire to ever coach football again. It's been 3 years. It's the same way with our walk with Jesus Christ. You can't look me in the eye, eyeball to eyeball, believer to believer, and tell me that you've been seeking God consistently every day and praying in the Spirit and reading your word and worshiping God and take a month or 2 months sabbatical from church. That you're lying to me. You're lying to me. You're lying to me. Because you can't be that excited and seeking Jesus every day and habitually miss church. You're lying. The best thing to do is just be quiet. Not that I'd say nothing to you. I wouldn't say nothing to you anyway. That's not my place to judge you. It's not my place. But if you've fallen or if you've been fallen, my friends, I got good news for you. The Creator of the world, Savior of the universe, Jesus Christ, is not mad at you. He's not mad at you. Pastor Homer, I've fallen. The Creator is not mad at you. Jesus is not mad at you. you don't know what I've done. Well, you're not hearing what I'm saying. I don't care what you've done. You're not hearing what I'm saying. Pastor Homer, I can't, man. Listen to me. The Creator, my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is not mad at you. In fact, he wants me to tell you today that your sin is not counted against you, but it's been covered by his blood. What more could you want from a God than that? What more could you want from a God that gives you the tools to walk out of your filth? I used to sit in the back of that church and I used to cry because of a problem that I had. I said, God, there's got to be more. There's something that I'm missing, Lord. And then I heard about the walk in the Spirit. And I was so stubborn. I heard and I saw this man named Pastor Dave Roberson. I never really met him personally. But the first time I saw him, without even hearing him, I felt God's love when I looked at him. I said, my God, I want to be like him. You mean you want to be like a man that you've never heard personally? Yes. So then I found out what he did in the Spirit. And I began to do what he taught me to do. And a lot of the things that had me bound and made me cry and made me feel like I was in bondage, and things started going away. Started going away. And I'm still in the process, my friends. If you don't believe me, ask my wife and my kids. But I'm here to tell you today in these closing words that my God is not mad at you. I found something out last week about one of my kids, two of my kids. Did you get mad? Nah. There's two things, and I'm not just saying this because this person's here. There's two things that my pastor has taught me, and I've learned the hard way. Don't preach what you know, but preach what you hear. And I can't ever hold my kids, Priscilla, in order of their age, Julissa, Quentin, Elijah, Nathaniel, David, and Jordan, my niece. I can't ever hold them to a higher standard. If Alex comes to me today and says, Homer, I know I'm your right-hand man in the youth ministry, but I've had a girlfriend in Fort Myers and I've been having sex with her. My ass is going like this. Ooh. You better. Alex comes to my house as a pastor and as his friend. Alex, just ask God to forgive you. Ask him to forgive you. Get back in your word, son. And I'll give him a hug and I'll kiss him on his big old greasy forehead and tell him that I love him. The same advice, the same love and forgiveness that I give my friend is the same thing I'm called to do to my children. No more, no less. Because we're called to walk in the love of God. And when a man or woman walks in the love of God, he tries his very best to obey the instruction of God from his Spirit. Daddy, I got to talk to you. I love you, baby. Daddy loves you. Don't get too close to me, but I love you. Hugged her, hugged him, and we cried. I love you, son. What are you talking about? Come on, now, you ain't dumb. my kids aren't held to a higher standard. My God isn't mad at my kids. My God isn't mad at you, my friends. He ain't mad at anybody in here. Because me and you are blessed. Because our transgression, our iniquities, our failures are not counted against me and you. Why wouldn't you want to serve a God like that? Why would you run from a God like that, that doesn't have a legal pad and a marker writing down all that you've done wrong and wants to remind you of it all the time? No, not my God, my friend. He casts your sin as far as the east is from the west. My God is not mad at you. My God is not mad at you. But he does give you the power to say no to that thing that holds you in bondage. We're called to walk in the Spirit. And I want to continue this in depth more in the next few weeks about the walk in the Spirit, about the love of God. But today, I want to tell you today as your friend, as your co-equal, together, as we co-labor in the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want to tell you today that my God, your God, my Savior, your Savior, is not mad at you. He's saying, come on, son, I'll take you higher. I'll take you higher. I'll take you higher. Now more than ever, my friends, is the time to find Jesus Christ. I respect one of my kids that told me, I'm not ready to serve God yet, Dad. I said, okay. I said, I can respect that. You don't want to read, you don't want to pray. And I didn't get mad at all. And which kid is it? I'm not going to tell you. Because I don't want you to judge my child. I said, okay, son, you don't want to read, you don't want to pray. I won't make you. What? Because if God doesn't force him or her to serve God, I can't either. I said, I'll tell you what. And it was so good because I feel love between us now, a lot of love, and I'm almost done in 2 or 3 minutes. I said, okay, son, you don't have to. But every day at 9 o'clock, I'm going to sit down and read my Bible. Any of you that want to join me, freely come with your dad. If you don't want to, don't do it. And I wasn't mad, and I said, but this one thing I will do. We will get in a circle at night, and I will pray for you daily, releasing whatever conviction, whatever anointing I have in your life as I lay my hands on you, praying that my Father will change your heart. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to love you. And I'm not going to bring this up. And I'm not going to judge you. But I'm going to extend the love of God to you, son, like you've never had it extended before. We'll pray together as a family. You'll feel what I feel as the anointing comes off of me and is transferred unto you as I lay my hands on you. That part, you can't stop me from doing. You can't stop me from praying for you, son. I'll pray for you until you get ready to make that confession. It's all about God's love, my friends. It's all about God's love. It's all about this book that's holy and undefiled, pure than the purest of gold. 66 love books that will change you inside and out if you give God the opportunity. I'm nobody in myself. In him, I'm everything. I don't have much of a brain, but I have a business brain, business sense, because I pray in the Holy Ghost. But I'm crazy enough to believe that this word is the final say-so in every single situation. I'm crazy enough to believe that this word can transform me into the image of Jesus Christ. I'm that crazy to know that in here lies the answer to any problem that I might ever have. I'm crazy enough to spend hours in this book mostly every day. I'm crazy enough for that. I'm crazy enough to believe that my anointing's coming off me. I'm starting to stutter. I am crazy enough to believe that my place is not to be in this secular world, but to be in this church praying for hours every single day. I'm crazy enough to believe that I'm not called to sell propane the rest of my life, but to stand side by side as an associate with my pastor and allow our God to be glorified through the revival and through the love and through the actions that we walk in. I'm crazy enough to believe that I'm not going to sell gas the rest of my life. I'm crazy enough to believe that I have to die more and more to the things of this world and grow and grow and grow in my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's my heart's desire more than it's ever been. I don't understand it when preachers say that they're burnt out. There is no burning out when you pray in the Spirit. It does not exist. My friends, I love you with all my heart. And more than me loving you, He loves you. And my words to my kids, to my Julie, to my Quentin, to my Elijah, to my Nathaniel, to my Jordan, to my David, is Daddy loves you. And there's nothing you could ever do to keep me from loving you. Nothing you could ever do that could keep me from loving you. It's my words to all of you here. There's nothing you could do to keep me from loving you. And better than that, there's nothing you could ever do that could keep my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, from loving you. He's telling you today, if you're born again, that your sin, that your darkness is not charged against you. On the contrary, my friends, He wants to forgive you. Come with me on this journey of saturating yourself in Christ Jesus. Come with me on this journey as we mortify the deeds of the flesh. Come with me on this journey as we download all that Jesus Christ is to our mind, our will, and our intellect. Come with me on this journey of edifying and exhorting and comforting our spirit as we're more than just a typical average Christian that has Bible verses memorized, but that walks in so much trash that it's not even funny. We're not called to memorize Bible verses. We're called to live out Bible verses. We're called to live them out, not to give an impression. We're called to live them out. Come with me on this journey. Come with me on this journey of finding and being saturated in a man named Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Amen. Bow your heads with me, please. We speak right now, Father, your word over your people, over these young people, Father, over the remnant, Lord. Not that you reserve them, Lord. Not that you reserve them, Lord. But they choose not to bow down, Lord, to the things of this world. That qualifies him, Jesus. That they choose not to bow down to the things of this world. Bring us closer together as a family, Lord. In unity, Lord, as these young people, as they'll congregate together, Father. As they'll congregate together and share their victories in you, Lord. As they'll congregate together, not only in church, Father, but in the secular world, at the bowling alley, Father, over lunch, over brunch, that they'll congregate together as a family, Father God, breaking bread with each other, singing and making melody in their hearts, Father, unto you. May they congregate together, Father, and grow stronger and stronger in you every single day of their lives, Father. I worship you and I thank you, Jesus. And I pray for those young mothers that are going to give birth, Father. I pray for the fruit in their womb, Lord, that those babies would be healthy in the name of Jesus. completely healthy and born healthy, Father, and that these mothers and these fathers, Father, would gird themselves up in you, Lord, and bring these precious creatures, Father, that are going to be brought into this world and know that they're called to bring these children up in the ways of God. Lord, I pray for the mothers that even right now before their offspring comes out, that they would begin and make a declaration, Lord, to spend time with you, Father, and to speak life over their fruit, Father. So, Father, I speak your word over their lives right now, Father, in Jesus' name, complete health. We speak your word, Jesus. We speak your word, Jesus. Your word, Jesus. We speak your word, Jesus. We speak your word over these young mothers, Father. We speak your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Listen to me real quick. Alex and Renee, it's your responsibility to get numbers to every teenager here. Put them in your phone. I'm going to ask both of you today. You might have them all, but make sure you got everybody's number in here. I beg you guys, do that for me. And then forward them to me. Guys, we're a family. God loves you. This young lady gave her life to the Lord this morning. Please do not make her feel. You make her feel like family because she is. It's easy to just talk to your friends. I feel hypocritical about being that because some people say I'm antisocial. Well, I'm getting better, buddy. I'm getting better. You want to see if I'm antisocial? Make a steak for me. See if I don't go to your house. But spend time with each other, Alex, Renee. Congregate with them here. Spend time with them. We're a family. Break bread with them. Amen. Guys, I love you.